Scripture reading this evening will be taken from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. If you would, turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. An update, Sister Genevieve was telling me that she had spoken with her daughter Kay, who attends the Prestonsburg congregation, and Brother Cooley had passed away. I don't know the timing or anything, but he has passed away. So I want to remember that family. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I'm reading from the New King James Version. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Okay, just making sure I'm on, because I have this because I tend to kind of move around a lot. If you remember the last time I was here, I want to say, first of all, how grateful I am to each that mentioned and talked and asked how the congregation over in Ironton was doing. As most of you probably already know, one of our elders passed away suddenly last week, Jim Wilson, and his funeral was yesterday. And it kind of took us at a real shock. No one was expecting it. He got sick last weekend, went into the hospital, and then never was able to recover. So just keep our congregation in your prayers as we heal from that. We know that he, as a faithful child of God, we have no worry about where he's at, and he's enjoying his reward. I want to bring a lesson to you, and I want to discuss this idea of sacrifice. And we're going to look at two main ideas about sacrifice. What do I sacrifice? And how do I sacrifice? When we think about sacrifice, sometimes we think about this word and we think, well, you know, what does it truly mean? And really, in the word sacrifice, it has the idea of giving up something that really you desperately need. Jesus is the greatest example of sacrifice in that he gave up his life. And we talk about people in the military that made the ultimate sacrifice. They gave up their life, something that they needed in order to continue life. They gave it up. Well, in Scripture, we'll see different places about sacrifice, and we'll also look at some things about how do I sacrifice. If you have your Bibles, I want to first look in Hebrews. Over in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at verses 15 and 16. The author here writes, "Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Does God want us to sacrifice? The Scriptures say absolutely. Here the Hebrew writer says that when we sacrifice, when we do good, God is not just pleased, it says that he is well pleased. Now look over in Romans chapter 12, the passage that was just read just a moment ago. What do I sacrifice? I have to sacrifice something. And because God is well pleased when I sacrifice. So what do I sacrifice? Look at verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 in particular, I beseech. What Paul is saying to them, he says, I'm pleading with you. I want to draw your attention to something very important that I'm about to write to you, that I'm about to tell you. He says, so I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. He's not just suggesting something. He says this is not only just, I want to draw your attention to it, but this is extremely important. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, something I think is very interesting about this verse, he says in here, I want you to present your bodies. See, this is, you know, a lot of the Jews would kind of understand this idea of presentation from the old law, that they would take their animal sacrifices and they would present them over to the priest. They would present them over to be sacrificed ultimately up to God. And here what Paul is saying on kind of on that same realm, he says, look, I don't want you to take an animal sacrifice anymore. What I want you to do as Christians, he's talking to Christians, and I want you to take your body, I want you to take your whole life, everything that you have, and I want you to take that and present that to God. And it's not an ending of a sacrifice. He says it's a living sacrifice. So this presentation is, I say, all right, God, here I am. I'm giving everything over to you, all that I am, all that I have, everything about me, it is now yours. And it is on a daily basis, every day of my life. This is important because we sometimes see people that, well, maybe it's Sunday, maybe it's Sunday night, maybe Wednesday night. But Monday morning, that's my world. You know, that's my time. On Tuesday, that's my time. On Thursday, that's my time. On Friday and Saturday, that's my time. No, as a Christian, here Paul is saying to the church of Rome, he says, you present your bodies a living, daily, every second sacrifice. And he says it's your reasonable service. It is your rational service, in other words. This is what a Christian does. This is what someone that wants to be a follower of God. So what do I sacrifice? I sacrifice me. I give and present myself to God and say, you take over, you're in control, my life, my stuff, everything that I possess, and all my talents, all my money, all my possessions, all of everything I am and what I have, it is now yours. It was his to begin with. But I'm saying I'm giving up my, you know, any my influence in it and my thoughts on it. Do we live that way? Do we take ourselves, when we come up out of the watery graves of baptism, we are saying that to God, that we are now presenting ourselves over to you, God, because he bought us with a price. 1 Corinthians talks about that. He bought us with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now look at the next verse, in verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. That's like molding. You take some, you know, pottery and you kind of mold it. Don't mold and look like the world, because that's not how you present yourself to God, looking like the world and acting like the world. But he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we prove? How do we prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? We are to be transformed. We are to present ourselves as living sacrifices to God. That is how we are transformed. That is how we prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the question is, you know, have I transformed? This word transformed, you've probably heard this before. But it comes from a Greek word that has the idea of metamorphosis. Caterpillar to butterfly, right? It's a total change. We go in to the watery grave of baptism as one. We come up as something totally different. We were dead, and now we come up alive. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says there that we are a new creation. We put off the old, and we're now living for the new. And I love that. about the scriptures here. And we really got to hold on to that, and we've got to truly understand that. And I've got to ask myself, have I done that? Have I given myself completely over? Have I presented myself to God and say, you are in control? Jesus said, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. The key is that first part, but seek first the kingdom of God. Sacrifice everything else, it's saying, Jesus is saying, for the kingdom's sake, for the church. Church and the kingdom are the same thing. You sacrifice your world. You sacrifice even sometimes your family. You sacrifice everything. The very first thing that comes up is the kingdom, is God. That's number one. And it's in everything that we do. It is our focal point. Now, how do we do this? How do we sacrifice? I want you to turn over to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. You go to Matthew, you've gone too far, just back up a couple pages to Malachi chapter 1. And we want to look at starting in verse 6. But I want to tell you a little something here while you're turning there. It is said, and I read some stuff about President Jimmy Carter. It said that they would set up going to people's homes when he was president. Average, what it was called, average American homes. And they would go in, and they would set it all up before, and he would go and stay with people in their homes while he was president. Now let me ask you, what would you do, let's say, if the governor, the state of Kentucky or the governor of Ohio, and they said, the office said, hey, the governor wants to come and wants to stay at your house. The governor wants to eat with you at your house. Some might say, well, I don't like the governor. I don't want him over. But, I mean, I would think, it doesn't matter. I live in Ohio, and I would think, wow, the governor of Ohio coming to my house. Oh, this is what I would do. Because the governor's going to come to my house, what I would do is, I would make sure I have the raggedest clothes looking. I mean, I would have T-shirts that were all torn up, and I'd come to the door with blue jeans, and I wouldn't have bathed in a month. And then when he came in and he wanted to have some dinner, I would make sure the house was a total wreck. Everything was strewn all over the place. I would go and I would say, look, what we're going to do is my wife's going to heat up some leftovers for you that we've had in the refrigerator for about 6 weeks. And we're going to cut all off that stuff that's been growing. Don't worry about it. It won't hurt you a bit. It's mold. And now they use that for antibiotics, I believe, so it should be fine. We got a little bit of bread. I know it's black and in strange colors, but it's all right. Who would even think about doing something like that? But let's look at Malachi. We wouldn't think that the people of the Old Testament would do anything like that, would we? Well, let's just look and see what happens. Verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the Father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts. To you priests who despise my name, yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? Now he's going to tell you, he's going to say, this is how you did it. You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably? Says the Lord of hosts. Who is he, or who is there even among you, who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food, is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick, thus you bring an offering. Shall I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, who has in his flock a male, and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. I know that was a little bit of a lengthy reading, but what is going on here is God is hitting Israel, and he's coming to the priests, and he's coming to the citizens, to the people, his children, his chosen people. And what's going on is that these people are going out and they're looking at their sheep and they're looking at their, you know, their livestock. And all right, well, let's see what are we gonna? That one is too good. That one, you know, that one's really a nice one. That's a prize that I've got. But this one over here, it was kind of torn up by a wolf, maybe by a lion or something. I'll take that one because I don't really need it anymore, and I'm going to offer that to God. This one over here was born blind, or maybe it has some injury to its eyes. I'm going to take that, and I'm going to offer it to God. Do you realize we kind of do the same thing? We kind of look at all our stuff, and we sometimes do that in our worship. We when we're singing praises to God, we're like, I really hope he doesn't lead all four verses of that song. I mean, I hope he picks verses 1, 2, and 4. We're not focused on offering sacrifice to God, are we? We want to just kind of get it over with. Or maybe we'll complain. We'll say, well, you know, that one's too fast, or that he's saying that one too slow. But in reality, if we want to sacrifice, if we want to present ourselves a living sacrifice to God, we sing praises to God from deep down inside of our heart. And we offer that up to God. And we sing, it doesn't matter if we can carry a tune or not. It doesn't matter if, you know, I'm off, you know, and I'm not exactly pitch perfect. I am praising God with the fruit of my lips, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. I am sacrificing that in my praise to Him. What about around the Lord's table? I know and I understand how easy it is sometimes when it goes through and we're sitting there trying to focus, that sometimes our mind begins to kind of drift onto other things. You know, did I leave the iron on this morning? You know, where are we going to eat? I hope we get, you know, if the preacher doesn't go too long, we can get down there to this restaurant before everybody else. But we got to sacrifice. We got to pull ourselves back in and go back to the cross when this is being partaken of each Lord's day. And let me tell you something else. Our daily life should be all about God. We get up in the morning, it's about God. It's about Christ. We go to bed at night, it's about God. It's about Christ. It's all 110%. I know that doesn't add up to a lot of you math people, but I wasn't a math major. Everything plus, everything I can possibly give over to God, I'm going to do it. You know what our attitude should be on Monday morning? Oh, I can't wait to get back with the brethren. Oh, I can't wait to get back and study the Bible on Wednesday night. Oh, I can't wait on Thursday morning. I get up and I should be, I'm looking forward so much to going to worship God on Sunday morning and being with my brothers and sisters in Christ as we lift up praise to God. That's presenting ourselves a living sacrifice to God. That is how we worship. That is how we sacrifice. That is how we live. Sometimes we get into our minds and we kind of say, well, I got to go to church. I got to go to worship. When in reality, I should say, I get to go and I get to praise God. And I get to love God and I get to sing praises to Him and I get to gather around the table and remember the Lord's death. And I get to give a portion of what He has blessed me with. And I get to listen to a portion of the Word that He has delivered. That's God speaking to us, is His Word. And I get to talk to God in prayer with my brothers and sisters in Christ. There should be nothing greater, nothing more grand. That is presenting ourselves a living sacrifice. I hope you're doing that. I hope that we don't read verses like Matthew 6:33 that I quoted a moment ago and say, but seek first everything else and then the kingdom of God. But we read it where Jesus said, but seek first our priority, our love, our devotion, our sacrifice is on the kingdom more than anything else. People say, you know, why'd you become a preacher? Is it because you couldn't do anything else? Well, maybe. I don't know. But no, I could do other things. I have a degree in economics, and I've worked as an accountant at a bank, and I enjoyed that. But I'm a minister, a servant of God, and I preach because that's what I love. That's just what drives me. Now, not everybody can do it, I know. But what you should be saying, what you should be thinking is what Jesus said to His disciples before He ascended back into heaven in Mark 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's for everyone. That's for every Christian. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. I go and I preach the gospel to every person. The gospel, that word gospel means good news, glad tidings. Well, Jesus is saying you go and you tell them the greatest news that they can ever hear in their life. It is going to change their whole world if they obey it. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 says that we must obey the gospel. The gospel is, according to 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus came and He died, He was buried, and He rose again. Have you obeyed that gospel? Have you sacrificed the world, died to the world, to live for Jesus? Romans chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, how can we who died to sin live any longer in it? What are you doing? Are you still living in the world? What has the world got for you? Is the world going to sacrifice for you? The world's never going to sacrifice for you. You think about someone that sacrifices God. God gave you the very best in His sacrifice. He gave you the first, the best of everything that He had. That was His Son. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and rose again? Are you willing to go into the watery graves to have your sins washed away? Acts 22, verse 16. What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And then we're raised out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life. If you haven't done that, you've got to do that. If you're struggling with it, I'm sure Jerry or Mark would love to sit down, or one of the elders or some others would love to sit down and study the Bible with you and to share God's Word and walk through it and share with you exactly what God wants you to do in order to obtain His grace. But maybe you are a Christian. You haven't been sacrificing the way you should. You haven't been given back over to God, and just you've taken back your life that you presented to God as a living sacrifice will change it. Turn things around. If it's between you and God, go to God in prayer right now. Don't even wait till the invitation song starts. Go to God right now and ask for forgiveness and for help and for strength. But we're going to sing this invitation song, the one that was announced just a little while ago, and we're going to give you the opportunity that if you need to become a Christian, I'm sure things are ready, prepared, that they'll take your confession, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, take him to the water, God will then wash away all your sins, and they'll bring you up a new creation, new creature, where the old things have been put away, and you now put on new, which is Christ. But if you are a Christian, and you've drifted back into the world, you've allowed Satan back into your heart, and you've allowed the evil back, and you've got sins. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. In verse 9 of 1 John 1, it says, if we confess our sins, he, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you ask God for forgiveness, he will cleanse you once again of all the unrighteous things that you've done. But you've got to make that step. You've got to make that choice. You have to decide. We're going to give you that opportunity right now. If you have any spiritual need whatsoever, please, please don't leave, but come to him as together we stand and as we sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day.